Tonight, cancel those plans for a StarCraft 2 party in your basement you're no longer wanted. Plus, did Dave Perry announce a streaming game service that might actually work? All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of July 5th, 2009. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this net. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at DragonCon 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
You know, the one thing that stands in the way between me and doing what I want is usually a computer. So if we got rid of all computers, things would be great. Not really. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on All Games Radio, we're a little bit late tonight on this holiday weekend. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in if you feel like it. It depends. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, and our toll-free number is 1-866-880-0156. That is toll-free in North America. Or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, if you're listening to us on the very late podcast feed. I need to do something about that. I know I do. I greatly apologize about that. So I'm just going to jump right into things, because we did start a little bit late tonight, and I don't want to go over too much. I have been actually playing a game this weekend that people probably don't think of me playing all that much, and I haven't gotten too far into it. I have gotten enough into it to get my butt kicked repeatedly in beginner mode. So it's one of those games where you set it to the easiest difficulty and you still get your ass kicked. I'm talking about Blaze Blue, Calamity Trigger. What the hell is Blaze Blue? It's a game you probably can't find anywhere. If you can find it, you're going to find it this week. It's by the same developers of Guilty Gear. So it's one of those 2D fighting games where they basically take, like... And the thing that gets me most about the Guilty Gear franchise is 2D fighting. The animation is cool and everything with it. And, you know, they do a really good job with the 2D animation and everything. But what gets me is, obviously, what they do is they take one of those, like, little magnet things of words. You know, like how you can buy those little boxes that have all the words and you can arrange them in however you want on your fridge. I am convinced that they did this. They took that box and they just threw everything onto the side of a fridge or something, and whatever stuck, that's what they put in the game. It makes no sense. It's like the wheel, you know, before every fight it says, like, the wheels of fate are turning on their axis and blah blah blah, and a round is called a rebel, whatever the hell a rebel is. I mean, I know what a rebel is, but not in the context that they but anyway, it just feels like they you know, which is something all Guilty Gears have done. They've just had random words appear on the screen for what seems like absolutely no reason, and of course all the fanboys are like, nope, it has a reason. Let me explain it to you. I tried to watch the story of this game. Yes, it's a 2D fighting game that has to have a story. It tries to have a story. It even has like a 5-minute opening cutscene. I still have no clue what's going on. It's like a failed experiment gone wrong or something. And then when you actually play the game, it has absolutely nothing to do with that failed experiment, I don't think. Maybe that's just because I don't understand what's going on, and it does tie in together, and I just don't know. But anyway, you don't play a 2D fighting game for its story, as evidenced by last week's story about the guy who directed the Mortal Kombat movie thinking he owns the rights to the characters because Midway didn't create a good enough story. But anyway, no, it's a very, to me, as someone who is not a professional player, someone who doesn't go to tournaments and get, you know, kick other people's asses, it seems like a very solid fighter. Now, they do actually make it easy for the noobs like myself to play this game. One of what they basically do is I'm playing on the Xbox 360 version, and they map all of the funky special moves to the right stick. So you're actually like spamming, you know, going right on the right stick and up on the right stick to do these kind of complex maneuvers of hitting this, doing the two twists and then hitting the what they call the D button, which is the A button on the Xbox 360 controller. Don't get me started on that. And so they make it accessible for the noobs, although you will still get your ass kicked if any, you're playing against anybody that actually knows what they're doing. But it's 2D fighter from the creators of Guilty Gear, done all in, you know, high definition, beautiful 2D graphics, with some, you know, I mean, they make it look like it's in 3D. But it's not something you're going to get instantly attached to. I mean, I'm not attached to any of the characters yet. But then again, I've only played through a couple of them, and, you know, when I did the story mode as one character, I completed the story mode and said, okay, you're done with 37% of the story. And I'm like, I just finished the story mode. But apparently you have to lose for that stuff. One of the things, as a noob, as somebody who doesn't play fighting games all that much, is, you know, I go into the training mode and I try to learn the combo, or learn at least some of the moves, and so I can kind of gauge what I want to do and stuff like that, which is, you know, what you're supposed to do. And they label all of their buttons as A, B, C, and D in the training mode. And then you go into a different screen, and that's where you map A, B, C, and D to X, Y, B, and A. But they don't offer a way for you to actually change the command list to show the actual button on the controller you're supposed to hit. So you have to try to... I'm always going back and forth because I haven't committed to memory what I did set A, B, C, and D, even though it's the default. I see A, and, oh, I need to hit, you know, back A, but really that's back X. Does it make sense? No? That's why I think they should have at least given me the option. But they do some things for the noobs and stuff, but it is a hardcore 2D fighter. From what I understand, everybody in the fighting scene is going gaga over it. You know, it's been shown at anime conventions recently, and everybody loves it. The only one I could find is a limited edition, which is actually the same price as your normal game. It's $60, and there is no normal version of the game, at least that I could find. And it comes with a DVD and a two-disc soundtrack and things. I haven't watched the DVD yet, but it's out there. And if it's anything like the last Guilty Gear that came out, if you want this, you got to go get your hands on it very, 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 very soon, because they're probably never going to print it again, and then you're going to be out of luck try to find it. There is multiplayer play. There is Xbox Live play. I believe there's even a lobby system, which is something Street Fighter 4 couldn't do. But I have not ventured out there yet to get my ass kicked by the Rob D or other people like that. We are going to be doing it this Friday on Friday Night Gaming over at FNGLive.net. We're going to be playing it in the store in our new location in Kennesaw at CC Gaming at Kennesaw, Georgia. And we're going to be playing it online on our gamer tag. So go to fnglive.net for more information about that. I'm going to look into chat at allgames.com, to see if anybody is talking about Blaze Blue and what they're saying about that. Toshin says it's just a Guilty Gear thing. The whole, I guess, throwing random words on the screen and making it sound like you don't know what they're talking about. Heaven or Hell? Rebel One. The wheels of fate are turning on their axes, and you are going... Yeah. Hitstun says, A, B, and C are light, medium, and hard, and D is drive. Makes sense to me. It makes... Yeah, they're basically talking about the things, but those are actual buttons on the controller. And so I would like, you know, as somebody who doesn't want to think too much, or somebody that's trying to just, like, glance at the screen... It would have been nice to have, like, some kind of way I could swap it to say, oh, you want to hit X, not A, even though I know A, B, C, and D make sense. But, you know, for a quick glance, so I'm not constantly going, okay, I've got to translate this B is really Y. And, yeah. The Rob D says they're just making it more complicated. I agree with Bobby. The Rob D is our, like, resident 2D fighter expert, I guess. He's defeated many Street Fighter 4 people in tournaments, and so if he says it's complicated, then I agree him. He says, on the command list, it should show the system's buttons, or at least the options, or have the option to show that system's buttons, because I think Street Fighter 4 does that. As Street Fighter 4, it defaults to showing you, you know, high kick, low kick, or whatever, but you can hit a button, and it'll say, okay, hit Y. You know, at least it does that. I mean, it defaults to showing you high kick, low kick, medium punch, stuff like that. But it gives you the option to change that. Xenocore says, fighting game stories are useless. I agree. And especially after watching this and having to spend 5 minutes. I got an achievement for sitting through it. I got 10 gamer points, but I had no clue what they were doing. I couldn't tell, even though it was in English. And subtitled in English. They were speaking English and showing me the text. And I still had no clue. Hitstun says the character basically first. Hitstun says, "Wait, you're playing with the quick commands. You suck." And then he says, "The characters are all very deep. It takes weeks to master one." And I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just I've only had the game for a day, so no, I haven't gone into the deep. The backstory is, you know, not something that you know is going you're going to get very attached to. Is kind of what I was saying. Yes, the character, the gameplay is very deep, which is why you're playing a fighting game. They're not, you know, they threw in the story mode with these little anime cutscenes in there. But no, I mean, I'm sure that the mastering the character and playing it is very deep, but it's not like, you know, you're not going to, at least I don't think you're going to have a Ragna the Blood Edge t-shirt or wall scroll on your wall like you probably would a Ryu or a Ken. The Robdy says that the BlazBlue DVD is incredible, so I have not watched that, so I will watch this incredible DVD sometime this week. And then he says that we are both incorrect about something, and I'm not sure what he's saying. Good storyline makes you feel that much closer to the characters, is what the Robdy says. And he says he loves the idea of a story mode, but I am an anime fan. And I say, and I guess, you know, it makes sense, and but I don't think that BlazBlue does it right with the story mode. It's very, I mean, even though it, you know, they obviously did spend time on it, it doesn't feel like they spent a lot of time, and it doesn't make any sense. At least in, like, something like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, there's the tournament, and everybody's in there for the tournament, and yeah, some people have prior histories and stuff. It's very, like, the opening of Blue Blaze, or BlazBlue, I keep saying it wrong, and I keep wanting to say BlazBlue because they leave the E off of Blaze, but it is BlazBlue. They actually pronounce it in one of the things in the story that's made like a kid's cartoon. Don't ask. But at the beginning, it's like they're doing some experiment on some gate, and it goes horribly wrong. And then you don't really hear about it again. I think everybody winds up at that gate at the end of their story, I think, but I don't know why. Maybe it's just because, like, going through the story only gets you through 37% of it, so you actually have to lose some battles and do some different choices or whatever. I don't know. The Rob D will probably call in and tell me exactly why I'm wrong. So, yeah, BlazBlue, it is. I mean, from what everybody's telling me, and I'm not saying it's a bad game. If you're into the 2D fighters, this is probably your big game of the year. You know, and yes, I do know Street Fighter 4 came out this year and things like that. But I think this is going to be the one for the real hardcore because it's the Guilty Gear team doing it. It's got your random English words thrown at the beginning of every match. Everybody loves that, apparently. And it's very deep fighting system. And they do make it accessible for noobs. But obviously, if you use those accessibility options, you're called you're told you suck by Hitstun. So if you use those options, don't come into our chat room and talk to Hitstun because he will think less of you and rage quit because you're dumb, I guess. And it's funny, there's Darabdi says he hasn't touched the story, he's touched the arcade mode. The arcade mode and the story mode are kind of overlapped a little bit. Like when you go through the arcade mode, which is just, you know, you're facing 10 random characters, seemingly random characters, they actually do have little story moments. And then as you watch the story, you actually see more of why that happened. Like, the same event happens in story mode, but it, yeah. So, it's they do a little bit. And maybe it's just because I've only seen a little bit of the story mode, and maybe it does make sense and it ties in, but they don't make it very easy for you to see that in the first hour or two of gameplay. So, really, I mean, it's a 2D fighter. It's a very good 2D fighter. And you should be buying it on that alone. If you're buying it for the story, don't... No, not this one. But it's if you're buying it for 2D fighters and very deep characters in terms of control and gameplay, then I think this is the one. This is a good one. Then again, I've only been playing it for like a day or two. So I can't comment too much. Maybe the Rob D will call in and tell us why it's wrong. Pit Method in chat says, the DVD has basic tutorials, expert advice, character-specific strategies, etc. So that's good, because I probably need that. That will probably help me. So I will probably curl up with the DVD sometime this week and watch it. Flaming Mozo says, the only problem I have with the story mode is that to 100% it, you have to die on purpose sometimes, which I noticed, because I won everything in the story mode, and I got 37% through it, even though I saw the beginning, middle, and end, so I was kind of confused. And I looked, and I actually opened the instruction manual, and it said dying in specific battles as well, or losing in specific battles, as well as, you know, there are some, or at least in the one that I did, there's only one, but there's a choice that you make, and then obviously that's a branching path as well. Hitstun says, Street Fighter IV's story was just dumb, especially in the cutscenes. Oh, yeah, Blanka's. I didn't care much for Blanka's story in Street Fighter IV. So let's talk about some news. Blaze Blue, I'm not going to give it a letter grade just because I haven't played it enough, but what I will say is, you know, this is probably, for the 2D fighting fan, you probably already own this, so you really don't care what I think. But it's out there, and yes, it is accessible to noobs. You're going to get your butt kicked if you play against anybody that knows what they're doing, obviously, so it seems pretty balanced in that respect. And you're going to probably see it at a lot of anime conventions. It's going to be the game that everybody plays and quotes random English words thrown against a fridge. The wheels of Axis and Fate are turning over to the dark side of matter as the something or other fails. Rebel One, fight! Let's talk about a game that's big in Korea. How about that? StarCraft II. It's the big RTS that everybody's been waiting for probably about 12 years now, since StarCraft I came out. Then they made World of Warcraft and kind of, you know, stopped doing things that weren't World of Warcraft, except they did Warcraft III. But let's talk about StarCraft II and what you're not going to be able to do, something that everybody did back when StarCraft I was around, back what a lot of people in Korea are doing. GameSpot reports that as part of Activision Blizzard's pre-2009 Electronic E3 telepress conference, Blizzard executive Michael Morhaime confirmed what many had suspected. StarCraft II Wings of Liberty is expected to launch for the PC alongside the newly redesigned Battle.net online networking service before the end of the year. However, when StarCraft II does see release, it will do so without a hallmark of the RTS genre, a LAN option. Blizzard today, this week confirmed for GameSpot that LAN functionality will be absent from StarCraft II's multiplayer component as both a piracy prevention mechanism and a quality assurance initiative. A Blizzard representative said in a statement, quote, "We don't currently plan to support LAN play with StarCraft II as we are building Battle.net to be the ideal destination for multiplayer gaming with StarCraft II and future Blizzard Entertainment games. While this was a difficult decision for us, we felt that moving away from LAN play and directing players to our upgraded Battle.net service was the best option to ensure a quality multiplayer experience with StarCraft II and safeguard against piracy. Several Battle.net features like advanced communications options, achievements, stat tracking, and more require players to be connected to the service, so we're encouraging everyone to use Battle.net as much as possible to get the most out of StarCraft II. We're looking forward to sharing more details about Battle.net and online functionality for StarCraft II in the near future," unquote. So, co-founder of Blizzard, Frank Pierce, said that piracy was a concern for the developer at BlizzCon 2008 and that Battle.net would play a role in counteracting the theft of the game. Back then, he said, quote, "We're definitely talking about ways with Battle.net that we can provide the best online experience for our customers so that there's not an incentive to pirate the product, but instead an incentive to be a part of the community of gamers playing that game, and they'd want to be a part of that social experience on top of the single-player experience," unquote. So, basically, if you were planning to have a bunch of your friends bring all their computers and monitors and keyboards and mice and setting them up like in like a basement somewhere or in a warehouse somewhere and you know, just have them all on a hub and everything on your own little local network and just playing some StarCraft II, you're SOL unless you give them all internet connection, which probably most people have by now. I mean, they wouldn't have had that in the 90s. But it's going to be kind of like Steam, where, you know, at a gaming center, because, I mean, I do a Friday night show from gaming centers, they have to go hit Steam to validate their key for the game, and then people can play, like, Left 4 Dead on a LAN, which they do here, which they, you know, they'll have, like, a local server and stuff, and they'll play it just over LAN play, so there's no latency. What this is basically saying, now, I don't know exactly how the infrastructure of this is going to have, because it's the redesigned Battle.net, but now it looks like you're going to have to actually go over the internet just to play against the person next to you. And I kind of understand the whole, you know, oh, we're trying to counteract piracy because, you know, basically pirates can't play online. That's why people buy the PC games because, you know, that's how they get the multiplayer component. And with a LAN option, you don't need to worry about that because you just don't connect to the internet and you connect over LAN. So this is a anti-piracy measure. But StarCraft was built on LAN play. That's how it kind of really got big, especially in South Korea. with all the PC bangs, which are gaming centers. That's what they're called over there, LAN centers. And now it's going to require internet connectivity to do that. So you can't just like go somewhere, set up a bunch of PCs, and play some StarCraft. Now you got to make sure that you have an internet connection so they can all play online against the guy sitting next to them. That's the ultimate communication option. That beats any kind of, you know, microphone or VoIP software, is, you know, telling the guy next to you what to do, especially in a team game like this. Pit Method asks, what is Battle.net? Battle.net is Blizzard's online gaming service, kind of like Blizzard's version of Xbox Live is kind of the close... Xbox Live does a lot more, but Battle.net is what is used to connect people, and I mean, they've even had it for Warcraft 2 and Diablo 2 and things like, and StarCraft 1 was even over Battle.net. It's their online service. Right now it's free. But it's their online service where you can do matchmaking and all that stuff. So that's what it is. So now instead of, you know, having the LAN option, now you have to go to Battle.net and do the matchmaking that way. Xenocore, very volatile tonight. I'm calling bull crap. He actually says a different word, but I don't say that word. As everyone of this savvy knows, he says, anything is possible with code. All they are doing is making an incentive for pirates to crap Battle.net functionality. Once the game is released, pirates and people wishing to game locally will use external apps to spoof the internet connection to play local LAN. This is a suit making a money decision that he is not mentally qualified to do. Pit Method says, this doesn't sound good for the gaming leagues like MLG. And, you know, they probably have something special working, you know, where they can do things like this, because they run Steam games that need the Steam functionality as well, and they work with that. So I would think that the MLG and Blizzard would work together to find something. This is more going to hurt the group of people that don't have a professional working relationship with Blizzard to either, you know, hold a LAN party in their basement without having to give everybody internet access, or, you know, a gaming center that may not have internet access, but most gaming centers nowadays do have internet access. So, and it's kind of, it's not as big of a deal here in 2009 as it would have been in 1999, let's put it that way. Flaming Boza says, I'm shocked that they are giving a big FU to the guys that basically started their success. Imagine if Halo 2 said screw it to the LAN, even though Halo 1 had it. There are actually now Xbox games, there's less and less system link play in games. It's still out there, but there's not as many games that have system link right now. Xenocore says they did discuss Blizzard selling servers set up for localized gaming coverage. So there are, Blizzard is working with, you know, probably the high profile like the MLGs and the other pro gaming leagues to set up servers where they don't need internet access, but it would be something they would do with Blizzard. Said that Blizzard would still hold the keys, you'd just be able to buy the door from them, so to speak. So moving on real quick, one more story that I was going to talk about tonight, because I teased it, so I kind of have to talk about it. And I haven't watched the video of this, so I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Gaikai. I don't know, I'm going to say Gaikai, even though I haven't watched the video yet, and they've probably pronounced it. Dave Perry, who is a veteran of the gaming industry, started Shiny Entertainment, created Earthworm Jim, now runs Acclaim, or what's left of Acclaim. Basically, he released Gaikai, which is what I'm going to call it, which is basically his version of cloud computing. We remember OnLive was announced, big splash at GDC, said you're going to have 720p, 60 frames a second gameplay, no lag, no latency, yada, 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 and it's going to be great. And everybody's like, how is that going to work? And then they said, oh, yeah, we're not going to show it at E3. So Dave Perry says, no, cloud computing is real. I've been working on it with some people for quite some time. And it's real, and OnLive is stupid. And we're like, okay, yeah, right, Dave Perry. Okay, very good. He finally announced it, and he finally released it. And like I said, I hadn't watched this video yet because it's been the holiday weekend here in the U.S., so this video came out, and then I kind of wasn't near a computer all weekend, which is nice. But from his blog, dperry.com, he actually has some stuff about what some of the criticisms that some people had about this cloud computing venture, where people can play games without having the hardware on their system. So it's basically you play the game on a computer elsewhere. That way you wouldn't need to constantly upgrade your processor. They would constantly upgrade their processors and stuff so you could play better and better games just through their service. Now, so what he was saying about the service, I'm just going to read the 10 points he put up on his blog. If you want to learn more about this, we'll have a link in the show notes that has like the video and everything like that. But basically, for this service that he's doing, there's no installing anything. He's running regular Windows Vista with the latest Firefox and Flash is installed. It's a low-spec server. It's a very custom configuration, fully virtualized, to keep the cost to an absolute minimum. They had 7 Call of Duty games running on our E3 demo server. So they actually ran this at E3, I guess, probably for like meetings and stuff. Data travel distance is around 800 miles, and the demo, as that's where the server is, I guess that's the video was done at E3. 21 millisecond ping on that route. The final delay will be 10 milliseconds, as I just added a server in Irvine, California yesterday, but it's not added to the grid. So the demo is that they're showing is twice the delay he would usually get. The server is not hosted by a Tier 1 provider. It's just a regular data center in Fremont, California. He is also not cheating and using fiber connections for the demos. It's a home cable connection in a home. They don't have 5,000 pages of patents. They didn't take 7 years, and they don't claim to have invented 1 millisecond encryption and custom chips. You don't need them, so the cost will be much less. They designed this for real internet. The video compression codecs change in real time based on the need of the application or game and based on the hardware and bandwidth you have. For Photoshop, we make sure it's pixel perfect. I guess you can run Photoshop on this, too. Our bandwidth is mostly sub-1 megabit across all games, works with Wi-Fi, works with netbooks with no 3D card. If you hear any clicks, they're coming from the wireless headset microphone. He won't use that the next time. I guess that's in this video. A few video cuts using Windows Movie Maker to cut out dead air, like Need for Speed has far too many menus with loads and delays. And he says he keeps asking what operating system we use. They're so completely OS agnostic. Some demos come from Linux, some come from Windows, and will ultimately support streaming from Mac servers, too. So basically, this is on live without all the grandiose claims. They're not claiming that they're going to give you high-definition gameplay. They don't claim that it's going to be the next coming. They're saying, this is possible, this is realistic. And so it's not without criticism, obviously, but it's a lot more realistic than what you see from online. And they're running it over the Wi-Fi connection at E3, which I used the Wi-Fi connection at E3, and it wasn't that great. So if they were able to get this running on that connection at E3, that says something about the quality of their service. Pimp Method says, meh. I thought he was going to say hogwash, but that's him. And he also says next. He doesn't want us to talk about it anymore. So, if you want to talk about it, we'll be able to take phone calls about it. You can watch the video. We've got it in chat. It'll be in the show notes of the new way to play PC games without having a high-end PC. We are going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take some calls up here, up next here on the show. You won't hear the music on the podcast just because we didn't get the rights for the podcast. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio online at allgames.com.
You're listening to Bobby B. You know he'll probably be remembered in history as the greatest on MP3. Your chance to call up now, number in the U.S. toll free 1-866-880-0156. Out at home, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. Online, you can hit that's off the Trizak. Sit back, Bobby Blizak is Bizak.
Pen 15. He's a big fan of 2D fighters. In fact, he hates all the ones that come out. I wonder what he thinks of this, but I don't know. I don't think we're going to hear from him tonight. Hello, everybody. If you want to send in a bumper, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, or you can email me an MP3 with preferably with no music behind it, unless you have like it's one of your own beats, kind of like that. To blackwolf@allgames.com. We are opening up our phone lines and our Skype line. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word. And our phone number, toll free in North America, is 1-866-880-0156. But we already have somebody on the line. We lined it up during the break. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
What's up? It's the Rob D.
The Rob D. You are here to tell me why I am right or wrong about Blaze Blue. Is this correct?
I think you're mostly right. The storyline, I haven't actually played the story mode yet, so I can't comment on it too much. It seems like it's a pretty typical, like almost like a season, like a one season anime show. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're ripping off, or I shouldn't say ripping off, but they're taking together a lot of anime stereotypes and throwing them into a fighting game. It's what they've usually done in Guilty Gear. But I'm surprised at how much I'm actually liking this game. I'm usually not the Guilty Gear type of fighting gamer. Mm-hmm. but I am actually liking this game, even though everybody's, you know, shouting everything out all over the place. And you've got, heck, I have the game up right now, and every 5 seconds, bang, Shishigami's yelling out, Jin Kisaragi, over and over again, like a typical English dub voice actor.
Yeah, I did notice that like, all the, as you're fighting, everybody's screaming at each other, but they actually are screaming at the other character. It's not, like, generic. It's like,
yeah, this is one of the neat things about BlazBlue. I like how the characters actually acknowledge their relationships to one another. Like, mm-hmm. as I think the deal with Bang is that Jin, the other character I'm playing against, actually gave him his scar. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's actually reacting differently to this character as opposed to some guy who he has no relation to in the storyline. And that's kind of a neat little touch.
Yeah, and you know, like the mask, you know, take off your mask when you're playing against, I guess that's V13 in the air, or Hugh, or who is that? I don't know.
I think it's New 13. I think it's the Greek letter.
I mean, there is a lot of attention to detail. It's just, I guess, maybe to me, the story is too detailed by somebody that is crazy, and that's why I don't get it. Like, do you understand what the story is at all?
I think basically there's this organization called the Librarium that rules over everything, and then Ragna was a former agent of them, but now he's against them for some reason, and even though Jin seems like a good guy, he might not be, but I'd have to play through the story mode to actually comment on that more. I think that's the basic gist of it.
It's not going to help you, playing the story mode. I tried.
They actually have a character chart in the art book that you got if you pre-ordered it from GameStop. I looked at it. My friend actually pre-ordered it, and it's not terribly detailed. Pretty much everyone's after Ragna for some reason or other.
Yeah, I guess he's like the... I did play it through his, and he's what, like, he's like the Grim Reaper or the Nightmare or something like that.
Yeah, he's got some sort of sword, and he's got some special power that makes him like a Soul Eater. That's what it's called, if I recall correctly, something like that.
No, I thought Soul Eater, that was Soul Calibur, wasn't it?
No. It's called something Eater. Someone in chat can probably tell us that. I haven't actually played as him at all. I've mostly been sticking to Bang Shishigami since he's got my my typical heroic cliche anime character full of gar and bravery and courage kind of thing going on there. Plus he's got a Kamen Rider Henshin belt and have you seen the Bang install clip yet?
No, I haven't.
Basically, he's got the second form, this whole like Super Saiyan Dragon Ball Z style form on when you actually fulfill the conditions for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start doing that, this music that's twice as loud as the regular background music starts playing, sung by the guy who did both of the themes for Dragon Ball Z in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cheesy and completely over the top, but it's fun.
We're not playing that on this show, guys. Don't worry. So you know, as somebody who likes 2D fighters, is this really kind of the holy grail or whatever for the 2D fighters after what some people hated Street Fighter IV for whatever reason?
Okay, here's my opinion about it. Street mm-hmm. Fighter really brought things back to the old school way of fighting games. You know, you've got combos in there, but they're not terribly complicated. Meanwhile, in BlazBlue, the input for everything is really easy. Like, you don't have to be that precise. Mm-hmm. There are games that make you actually input everything really, really precisely. Like, if you play KOF 98 Ultimate Match in the Xbox Live Arcade, which also just came out this week, you have to be spot on everything. Like, there's no leeway. Like, you can't even go, like, if the motion is quarter circle forward, half circle back, if you can envision that on the controller, mm-hmm. you can't, or actually, if it's actually double quarter circle forward, this is a better example, like, you know, just down to forward twice, you can't go forward to down between the two down to forwards. You have to go back to neutral and then do the second down to forward, if that makes any sense. So in BlazBlue, they make it really easy so that the combos can be really flashy. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the combos, the longer they go on, the less damage they do. But, you know, it's all about being really, really flashy. That's what you get with BlazBlue.
And what do you think about, you know, they did add, you know, with the right analog stick, you know, you just flick that and it does, you know, your heat combos. Is that something you like, or is that something you kind of wish they didn't do to keep it something that only, like, the people that really know what they're doing can do?
It's great. It's disabled in ranked mode, and in player matches you can disable it if you want to in lobbies, which also the lobby system in this game is great. This is like the HD Remix lobby system on steroids, pretty much, and they did a really good job with it. But, I mean, I don't see why anyone would complain about it. I mean, if you really like the game, you'll learn the moves more, but it makes it more accessible, and it's not like it really helps them online since they can't actually use it online. So.
Right.
But I think, in my opinion, BlazBlue, since there are only 12 characters, its replayability is limited. It looks really good. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, I'm enjoying it a lot more than I expected to, but we'll see if we're playing this game in half a year beyond, you know, at anime conventions, people bringing it out. I'm excited to see how KOF 12 is going to be. I'm still looking forward to King of Fighters 12 more than I am, you know, this game. Like, I think I'll probably drop this when KOF 12 comes out, or at least play it less.
But does KOF 12 throw random English words to a wall and see which ones stick and put that before every match?
Have you seen Terry Bogard?
No, I haven't, I guess.
Okay. But, no, SNK is like the king of English. Like, I was playing Garo, Mark of the Wolves, which came out last week, and it was great. I'm playing as this one character. He's facing his final boss, and he says, I kid you not, he says to the final boss, "You're making me resort to violence, Dweebenheimer."
Dweebenheimer.
Yes, that's like the king of SNK insults. I've used that in multiple games. It's crazy.
All right. But, well, thanks. Yeah. Any last?
But yeah, I do enjoy this game, and I'd like to see more of it. I'd like to see more characters, and I'm excited to see what a Blaze Blue 2 would be like.
All right. Thanks so much, Rob.
All right. See you later.
We're going to take one more call. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. You can call in and talk about Blaze Blue or Gaikai or anything like that, or more English from SNK. Dweebenheimers. I should start using that and see if anybody gets it. So we do have one more call here. This is going to be the last one we're going to take tonight. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Black Wolf, it's Maximilian.
Maximilian, what's up? What's on your mind?
Well, I called in because I can actually comment on the Blaze Blue storyline, since that's pretty much what I did all day today.
Good, good, good. Help me. What is it?
Well, it's really kind of a mess in my opinion, because from what I'm understanding is, the only way to get 100% for some characters is while there are some characters, like for some conditions, you actually have to on purpose lose the battle to continue the story mode, which is, you know, odd, because why do you want to lose a battle to, you know, continue storyline, but whatever. And I also figured out that in order to actually get 100%, you have to beat the story mode for a different character first, and then go back and beat the story mode again for that character to get 100%, which is just... It's just kind of like...
I think I do need a flowchart for this, then.
Yeah, pretty much, because I play with Tao Kaka. She's one of the, like, half-cat, half-human type characters.
Yeah, she's the cat one, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, well, there's... I went through and beat the game the right way, because there's, like, multiple endings to each character storyline. Mm-hmm. I went through and beat it the right way, and I'm only stuck at 93% completion. I'm sitting there going... There's nothing left to do. I've done all the alternate endings and the real ending. Mm-hmm. So I figured that out. So I can't confirm it, but I'm going to check back later and see if that's what it really is.
Interesting. So, there's that intro sequence about that experiment, and then I didn't see anything else about that experiment again.
Or maybe... I think that experiment, I think, because there's still two characters that you have to, in order to, I think, see the full story, you have to first beat all the first 10 characters, and then there's two more that'll be unlocked, and I guess the last two will explain what that whole project was about.
So what do you think of the game itself, outside of the story, the actual fighting game itself?
Well, unlike the Rob D, I think I'm more of a fan of this game than I was Street Fighter 4, just because it's just more accessible to me, because with Street Fighter 4, I just ended up getting really frustrated trying to do combos for certain things, and it's just too much for me. Mm-hmm. I like over the top flashy moves. That basically, yeah. I like eye candy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, I saw that first Astral Heat, and I was like, how did I did that? Granted, I just hit down on the analog stick, but you know, I still did that.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's all I really have to comment on. I mean, it's just, I like flashy stuff. I probably end up playing, I can't, maybe King Fighters 12, when that comes out, maybe I'll play that more, but I definitely will be playing this game more than Street Fighter 4 from now on.
All right, excellent. Thanks so much for your thoughts, man.
You're very welcome.
So that is it for us this week. If you want to see Blaze Blue in action, check out Friday Night Gaming, my TV show, fnglive.net. We're going to be running it. This week is our first week at our new location in CC Gaming in Kennesaw, Georgia, and we're going to have it on there. Coming up next here tonight, though, on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, and we usually check in with them to see what they're up to. So, Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, but sadly it's only two tonight.
Oh.
One of them got blown up by fireworks.
Yes, it's very sad and tragic. No, just kidding.
Oh.
Dark Soccer is on vacation, so she won't be joining us tonight, tragically.
All right, so she won't be able to answer my question about the pinball this week either.
No, so she, she's I think now she's finding excuses to get away, actually. She ran off to Vegas to avoid your Inquisition.
She's avoiding me. I thought she liked me.
Funny, you know, she didn't go to E3 either, Bobby. I'm wondering, maybe Dark Sakura is avoiding you. Did you do something to Dark Sakura, Bobby?
I haven't pointed a camera at her or anything. I don't know what she'd want.
I don't know. I don't know, Bobby. You might need to send her flowers, just in case.
I'll get right on that. So have you guys played this Blaze Blue that we've been talking about?
No. I haven't. you know, no, it just came out, right? Just this week, and because I remember announcing it during the Japanese release date. It's kind of a worldwide launch. So, no, I haven't had a chance to check it out, and I'm not huge into a lot of fighting games anyway. Well, at least, I don't know, at least the Guilty Gear series I never really got it into. I guess it's not true that I'm not huge into fighters, because I think Street Fighter 4 is pretty awesome, and I did, you know, play a lot of the old school SNK stuff back in the day, although I have yet to really check out Mark of the Wolves. I know that came out on Xbox Live, but I just haven't gotten around to it. There's you know, only so many hours in the day and lots of games to play.
Are you surprised that all these 2D fighters are now coming out? Like, it seems like this is the year of the 2D fighter, at least, that we've been hearing of.
Not especially. I think folks have kind of heard the complaints when there was nothing but 3D fighters. You know, what was the number one complaint of a lot of fighting game fans? Man, I wish they would have 2D fighters again. Or, man, they haven't made a good 2D fighting game since Capcom versus SNK 2. You know, you know, we need to do like a 2D fighting game with the 3D graphics. And I think, you know, that's exactly what was accomplished in part by Street Fighter 4. And I think while Street Fighter 4 was in development, you know, some other folks got on board. Not to say there haven't been 2D fighting games, because I think you saw quite a few on the PlayStation 2. Like our kind of Heart comes to mind, of all things. You know, there have been some, but there haven't been a lot of, I guess you could say, really ones of note, as opposed to, you know, Street Fighter 4 and now Blaze Blue.
Really, all it comes down to is SNK ran out of Metal Slugs 3 release, so they decided, hey, we got to start putting out fighting games now. So now they're re-releasing all their fighting games and, you know, finally putting out a few new ones. But I think there's a lot of Neo Geo games they've left untapped.
Well, King of Fighters has always been there too, so it's not like we haven't had 2D fighting games in many years.
Then we also get the Samurai Showdown sequel that's going to be coming out, which is kind of neat. And then I don't know, we need some like Baseball Stars or Magical Lord. You know,
quick, name one character in Samurai Showdown.
I don't know.
Ah, see,
the guy with the big hair in the
sumo guy.
There's some chick with big boobs in it, too. I'm
oh,
sure.
That's every fighting game.
Hey, come on. Blaze Blue has a girl that they always call Booby Lady.
Booby Lady, is that her official name?
No, but it's what one of the characters calls, and she's like, I'm not Booby Lady. And the other character's like, okay, Booby Lady.
I was listening to part of your show tonight and kind of hearing about how they do get into the story a little more and actually have text, or I should say dialogue between each other that doesn't seem so scripted. But I don't have a problem with 3D fighting games when they're good. Like, I really like Soul Calibur. Yeah. I think that's a really good fighting game series. And I know it has its fans and its detractors. But, you know, I think there's definitely room in the world for some good 2D fighters and some good 3D fighters. And I think some of the latest batch of games we've seen have shown that. I think I don't know many people that don't like Street Fighter 4. I think it was a really great game.
1015 is one of them.
Lego Fighter.
I'm sure
that would be
it's
awesome.
A matter of time. You just knocking bricks off of people?
Knocking off bricks and, you know, grabbing weapons and stuff and attaching them to yourself. It'd be crazy.
There you go.
And then you have Darth Vader and Yoda and...
Exactly.
And against Indiana Jones, against Batman.
That actually would be a lot of fun. Against Rick and Steve.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what that is?
No, I don't.
No, it's all right. You probably wouldn't. But, yeah, there's lots of interesting Lego characters they could do in a battle. It'd be fun.
So what's coming up tonight here on Orange Lounge Radio?
Well, tonight on Orange Lounge Radio, we're going to be talking about some of the latest gaming topics with you guys in our chat room and the Twitter and email bag and all that fun stuff, of course. Even though, sadly, Dark Soccer is not here, the show must go on. We're going to be talking about a variety of topics tonight, including this whole discovery of emulation coming back to the PlayStation 3, possibly. Is that really what it means, or is there something else going on there with it? And we're going to talk about some of the other things that have been going on with Sony, as well as Xbox Live. Games are finally disappearing from Xbox Live Marketplace, but it might not be for the reasons you might think.
That's right. OrangeLoungeRadio.com is where you can get the podcast, or just right here at allgames.com. Just stay tuned. Thanks so much, guys.
That's right. Thank you, as always, Bobby Blackwell.
So that's it for us. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. You can catch us live, join in with the interact with the show directly, and tell us hogwash in chat all you want. Feel free to leave us a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwell Show. I did actually receive a bumper this week. I just didn't get a chance to put the music behind it. We'll debut it next week. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com and join our official forums over at allgames.com and take part in our community. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, Derek H., Dweebenheimer Nate, that must be DC Nate, The Rob D, Alpha Box, Billy OK, Burning Paper Sun, Bird, D5T, The Blue Guy, Doomplague, Eastwat, Mako, Maximilian, Stone Raider, THK, Tigerclaw, Toshin, AGN, True, Alpha Cananagram, Alt, Amazitsuma, Analog Outrage, Bacon Bits, Binary 667, Biohaze 20, Cedabria, Cool Dude 13233, Crispy, Dark Titsia, Devman Wade, Decipher, DJ Dark Knight, Dungeon Buster, Firecube, Flaming Bozo, Game Guru, Grave, Gunstar Silver, Havoc 978, Hecht, Hitstun, J Irv, Kaijudo, Carabiners 98, Kells, L. Frost, Maginomicon. I haven't had to pronounce that one yet, I don't think. Melted General, MSBK, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Pimp Method, Punchy, Racing Freak 92, Ranma, Redertainment, Seymour Booty, Shadow Next Gen, Sharonan 8, Soul Brother Rule, SSJ 100 Matt, Subzy, Sully 907, The Time Dilation Dude, TM95, Valerino, Visid, VXJSNXV, What Up G, Wilcon, Xenocore, X-Link, and Zappy. So, that is it. I feel like playing a fighter right now. I wonder if I should go out and play some more of this story of Blaze Blue. Or get my ass kicked online because they take away my easy button. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.